The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Time a little bit earlier than usual for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Rory Hanley, but we're going to talk about the HSE, because yesterday Tony O'Brien, who's been in the job for 6 months, announced to his staff that he would be leaving his contract expire during the summer, would not be staying on, which leads us to ask, well, who should take over the job? What sort of person is best suited to running such a mammoth organisation such as the HSE? Over 100,000 employees, a budget of well over 15 billion each year, major future things that it has to do with an ageing population, and given the importance of what it does, this may be one of the most important jobs in the country. So, Dr. Rory Hanley, would you give it to a doctor, or would you give it to a hospital administrator, or would you bring somebody in from the outside entirely who runs a different type of business?
It's a difficult question to answer, because the biggest problem is, no matter who gets the job, it's not about the individual. I mean, I'll make no comment about Mr. O'Brien or any of his predecessors. I'm sure they're all very good people. But the problem is, you've got a dysfunctional organisation, and you, worse than that, you have a situation where, under our current government and every government before it, you can't fire people. You have a job for life culture in the Irish public sector. Now, what that means is, if you have a grossly overstaffed bureaucracy that's squandering billions of taxpayers' money...
Of course they deny that.
They have been denying this for years.
Yeah, because the last time you made allegations on that basis, we heard from the HSE, they said that they could prove that they were not out of line with the NHS in the UK and things like that.
I'll give you the figures as I see it, right? There were they're entitled to their opinion, so let me give you mine. In 1997, we had roughly 7,000 administrators in our health system. As of last year, I think we're somewhere around 16, 17,000. It even peaked at even higher than that a few years ago, right? So we've actually more than doubled our number of administrators. Our number of acute hospital beds fell consistently from 1980 with 18,000 beds down to around less than 12,000, I think 11,000 at the moment today, right? So we've less beds, more bureaucrats. That's beyond dispute, right? The number of managers, senior managers at various grades has shot up over the last few years, and we continue to see management being recruited. So we have a situation whereby we have an overstaffed bureaucracy.
Now, in fairness to Tony O'Brien, he wrote a really interesting piece in the Sunday Business Post back last August after he'd made a speech. I think it was around July or August. He'd made a speech at a summer school. He laid out many of the problems that he had inherited. It seems that he had this system there that he had to come into that had been set up by the politicians, which wasn't fit for purpose.
I read his piece, okay? And, you know, he made some valid points. But he didn't address, as far as I'm concerned, the elephant in the room, which is the number of managers. He talked about a lot of things in that piece, a very good piece, in fairness. He talked about the overcharging for medications. He talked about various other issues. But he also tried to make a comment, which I fundamentally disagree with. He said the big problem is we have too many acute hospitals. So his solution was to start closing hospitals. Now, I would point out to Mr. O'Brien, he's retiring now, that since in the last couple of years, huge numbers of hospitals in this country have been downgraded. We saw Roscommon downgraded, we saw Ennis downgraded.
He argued very strongly the benefits of actually doing that.
Not much good.
That has actually worked.
No, it hasn't. Right? As far as I'm concerned, it hasn't. All right? And I'm going to tell you why. Right now, let's take Ennis as an example. Right? Limerick is one of the most overcrowded hospitals in our state right now. Its emergency department is constantly overcrowded. Why? Because Ennis and other hospitals in Tipperary were downgraded, and patients who would have been treated there ended up on trolleys in Limerick. Roscommon, they ended up on trolleys in Galway. When Dundalk was downgraded, they ended up on trolleys in Drogheda, and so on ad infinitum. This policy doesn't work, Matt. I am sick of this guff being spouted by commentators, by politicians, that we have too many acute hospitals in the state. We don't have enough acute hospital beds. If you start downgrading smaller hospitals, as we've done, the result is chaos. That's why we have a trolley count.
And let me put two things to you in relation to that. He says, in relation to Roscommon Hospital, it was an acute hospital providing a range of complex surgery and trauma care in circumstances where some of the clinicians in that hospital questioned the safety implications. I haven't finished. You wait your turn now. I'll tell you what else he actually had to say. He said today, and he went through the polarised political views which tried to stop it all happening, but he says today they made the changes. Roscommon Hospital flourishes, providing less complex procedures but considerably more outpatient services, day surgery and diagnostic services to the people of Roscommon and their environs.
And that's damn all used to the poor old granny in Roscommon who ends up on a trolley in Galway. And the reason she ends up on a trolley in Galway is because not only did they get rid of complex trauma, which is fair enough, by the way, I have no problem with that, but they also got rid of the ability to treat many other patients who were looked after just fine in Roscommon. Let's make the distinction now, because I'm getting very tired of this argument, because it's very, very unfair. Nobody, I do not want to see complex trauma looked after in Roscommon or Navan or anywhere else, but it's not happening there. this complex trauma should go to complex trauma centres. But the vast majority of people who turn up in hospitals and need beds aren't trauma victims. We're not in Beirut, Matt. We're in Ireland, right? People go to hospital with things like pneumonia. They need beds. They need oxygen. They need x-rays. They need access to an intensive care unit if they need a life support machine. And they need antibiotics. And all of that is done well in small hospitals. And what they say is, oh, trauma, trauma, shut them down, shut them down. And they end up on trolleys elsewhere. So this is
I'm going to use his own words to put it back to you. He says, we've currently 49 acute hospitals, 28 emergency departments. That is too many, and we need to stop providing complex acute care in many hospitals where it is inappropriate to do so. We need to streamline the services that we provide in the acute hospital setting, eliminate unnecessary duplication of services in hospitals within close proximity, and instead continue to develop centres of excellence. Cancer care is worth.
No, hang on. Let's stop a minute right there. Let's not do the cancer care comparison. That is not fair. Okay, cancer care, that's fair enough. There are centres there. This will not, and trauma, it works. Cardiac care, it works. But the common or garden stuff, the granny with pneumonia, it does not work. And this nonsense about centres of excellence, I'm sorry, centres of excellence, Matt, is, you know, the hospitals in this town that we're sitting in right now, there are 300 people a year dying on trolleys in this country. There are dozens of people on trolleys every day of the week. Centres of excellence? 500,000 people on waiting lists? Centres of excellence? What is this bloody excellence? I don't see any bloody excellence. I see people dying on waiting lists. I see people dying on trolleys. What is going on here?
Well,
and the solution, apparently, is to actually downgrade small rural hospitals and put those people into the trolley-based excellence that we've been hearing about. Okay. No, Matt, not buying it.
Yeah,
sorry.
But he says many of our elderly and other cohorts of patients who now depend upon the acute hospital setting could be treated far better and far more appropriately in other settings, such as primary care and where possible at home.
Okay.
And he says, I quote this, we need to build capacity outside the acute hospital sector in order to allow us to adequately manage chronic conditions. It also requires us to move services such as diagnostics, assessments and certain procedures that are currently provided in acute hospitals to the community setting. And one final thing, however, in order to achieve this successfully, a significant transition fund, which lies outside the normal health budget, is an absolute requirement.
Look, what is all this? Let me put that in English. What he's saying is...
That is English.
Well, hang on. Let me make it very simple. Okay, let me put it simply. Who's going to provide this magical care that he's talking about? Transition into the community. Who? Let me answer that for you. Presumably, he's talking about GPs, although he doesn't make that absolutely clear in that statement. There aren't enough bloody GPs in Ireland, Matt. Where are all these magical GPs going to come from that are going to provide this wonderful care? We're building these primary care centres that we keep being told are great. You know, there aren't even GPs to go into them, Matt, right? So we're spending tens of millions on buildings around Ireland, primary care centres, and we don't have enough hospital beds. We're talking about giving medical cards to the offspring of millionaires while people are dying on trolleys. This is not a plan. This is insanity.
Would you fancy the job yourself?
Do you think I'd get it?
That's not the question I asked you.
Yeah, in a way I kind of would. Just, you know, because what would happen is it would be, first of all, it would be nice to get a break from the day-to-day general practice, provided somebody was hired to look after my patients. But if I got the gig, you see, the way I would approach it is I would be immediately picking up the phone, bringing in the private sector guys, the Jimmy Sheehan and the lads who run the Blackrock Link, so on, saying, lads, I want you guys to take all these poor patients on the HSE shambles list of waiting lists and I want you to sort them out. And how much? And let's do a deal. And that's the way I'd solve it. I wouldn't be let, you see, Matt. So this is where...
Is this the big problem for whoever takes on the job?
Yeah.
That government policy will actually effectively put them in a straitjacket.
Yeah. And I mean, in fairness to Tony O'Brien, I don't want to criticise the man, go after the man rather than the ball. It's a bigger problem than one man. And whoever gets this job is going to face the same problem. You can't fire people. You can't, because the unions would go mad. You can't bring in the private sector, although you can to an extent. You can't get the private sector to fix the problem because the unions would go mad. So if you had somebody who went in and told the unions where to go, which is probably what I would do, they'd be handed a P45 in the morning by the politicians. So, you know,
The whole system would grind to a halt if you got your hands in it, because everyone would be going on strike.
Well, you know, that's possibly true, but I don't think the doctors and nurses will be going on strike, because I think they need to be looked after, and all frontline healthcare workers need to be looked after.
Okay, do you think it should be a doctor, a medical person, should be an administrator? This is back to the question I asked you at the start.
Sure.
Now, some people are saying they'd love to see a Michael O'Leary type come in. Michael O'Leary is not going to give up Ryanair, which pays enormously better than this exceptionally important job would do.
Well, I certainly think you need somebody who's capable of recognising efficiency, and efficiency happens in Ireland in the private hospital sector. It doesn't happen in much of the public system. It's a grossly inefficient system. There are some pockets of efficiency, but overall, it's a grossly inefficient system. So you need somebody who can recognise that and reward it and push patients in the direction where they get treated quickly. That will involve, you know, bypassing huge sections of the HSC. And if he's let do that, I wish that person the best of luck. Michael O'Leary, yeah, well, that would be great crack, I have to admit. But I don't think he would get too far in the job because he would be stymied by the unions and the politicians.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rory Hanley from the Irish Medical Times. We'll see you again for our weekly consultation next Wednesday.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.